We are live. And I'm coming to you from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Do you want to see your loan options and adjust payments and closing costs online in real time? Then Rocket can quickly. Now smash that phone number for you one more time. 1-800-636-8686. I've got some business first to handle. But after that, we are wide open until the last segment of the program. So you should jump in right now. It's toll free. Do it. Do not waste time. Let's talk some association. We are joined right now by a senior writer for Yahoo. Previously covered the Bulls for NBC Sports Chicago. He covered the Pistons for the Detroit News. He is Vincent Goodwill. Vincent, good to have you back. What's up?
What's going on, Jim? How you doing?
Good, good. Dude, how about you?
I am wonderful, man. We are at the second round of the playoffs, which means that some of us can get some sleep on off nights.
There you go. That's a good thing. You got to take advantage of that. You know how it is. Listen, you got a piece up right now on Yahoo Sports, though, about the Clippers finishing off the Mavericks in Game 7. I want to start right there. Vincent, like, what are your thoughts when you hear people say, all right, good. You see, those are the real Clippers, and they exercise their demons by getting over in Game 7. I mean, nice win, way to go, way to advance. But did they really exercise the demons and change the narrative?
Have we seen the Clippers movies? Because I know I have. And getting out of the first round isn't exactly the biggest milestone that they've ever done. Like, if you remember, in 2015, they put out the champion, the then-champion San Antonio Spurs, in Game 7 in an overtime in the first round. And what did they do in the second round? They gagged the 3-1 lead to the Houston Rockets to the likes of Josh Smith shooting threes from the corner. Like, so it doesn't mean a whole lot if they don't get out of the second round. And the crazy thing is, Jim, look, the Utah Jazz are a well-rounded, more complete team that doesn't have Boban in the middle. They got the defensive player of the year in Rudy Gobert, you know, manning the paint. So the work has just begun for the Clippers if they are going to be serious.
Listen, limited credit for getting over and getting to the next round. But let me turn that thing on its head for a minute. How horrible would it have been for the Clippers if they lost the final two games of the regular season to Houston and OKC because they wanted that matchup with the Mavericks and then they went out and they lost?
It would be almost worse. It's still, here's the thing, Jim. They're not off the hook for that yet either. Because if you lose to Utah, you could have very well have avoided them in the second round as well, right? You could have avoided playing the Utah Jazz until the conference finals. You could have been playing the Phoenix Suns right now, which having a banged-up Chris Paul feels like a easier matchup because DeAndre Ayton isn't as fearsome as Rudy Gobert is in the middle. And I think there's still going to be a lot of changes if they don't get to the finals. If Paul George comes up short again, like we've seen Kawhi Leonard show that Game 5 was an anomaly where he came up very, very short on his home floor. Ever since then, he's been historically amazing. And if you don't get out of the second round, regardless of the opponent, and you have an historically amazing playoff performer, you got to look at the number two guy and say, hey, should we be moving forward with you? Because they're not going to change Ty Lue. They're not going to change some of these other corresponding pieces. So I don't think that they've gotten out of anything. And I don't think just by beating Dallas and avoiding, you know, the Lakers or whatever, like, that wasn't Freddy Krueger that they were going to go against. That was going to be Frosty the Snowman. The Lakers fizzled in the first round of the playoffs. So who were you avoiding?
Vincent Goodwill is joining us. All right, you just mentioned Ty Lue, so let me follow you up there. What do you make of the job that Ty Lue did in the series, and especially in Game 6 and 7?
Jim, I think I think Rick Carlisle is one of the top five tacticians in the NBA. I think from a adjustment standpoint, Rick Carlisle, if you give him some pieces, he will break you down, and Ty Lue outcoached him. Ty Lue, when he went small and forced Rick Carlisle to basically play zone, which essentially gets the Clippers to do what they want to do, which is just shoot a bunch of threes. You know what I mean? Like, he made an adjustment that forced Rick Carlisle to play right into what the Clippers wanted to do. And although you can say that Ty had the better roster, he has a flawed roster with a mentally fragmented squad, and now, if nothing else, they appear confident. You start from game two on, they won four out of the last five games, and you can say that they did not have the best player on the floor definitively with Luka Doncic on the other end. I like Ty Lue as a tactician. I like him being the presence of calm, like there wasn't a lot of panic after game two or after game five when they gagged that game at home. So I would say that he has the right demeanor from the standpoint of, I'm not going to be beholden to what the Clippers are. I am a championship coach. You guys will listen to me, and guys have actually bought in.
I agree. Vincent Goodwill joining us. One more thought about him. When he leads the Clippers to the semifinals, Ty Lue, that means half the head coaches in the semifinals are black. How significant is that?
It's significant to the public, but it's only going to be significant if NBA owners take heed of it. Like, you can't – we can keep beating the drum, and I am a black man, I'm a black American – I see the struggle that these coaches go through. The number of coaches keep dwindling, and no matter what the achievements are, like, you can't achieve your way out of quote-unquote racism or bias or whatever. So if the owners and GMs don't want to see it, it won't mean a damn thing. All this does is prove beyond a shadow of a reasonable doubt, if there ever was one, that black men are just as qualified as anybody else of leading men and achieving something.
Exactly right. Vincent Goodwill joining us. All right, so let me get you to move to the East. James Harden left game one of the Nets-Bucks series less than a minute in. He's already been ruled out of game two. Brooklyn goes on. They dominate game one. However, and we know they're deep. However, how big a concern is his injury for the Nets?
Huge.
Right.
Because I don't think you can expect the same performances out of the likes of, you know, Blake Griffin, who jumped in the hot tub Wayback Machine and got chocolate wasted on threes. Look, I live in Detroit, and I saw Blake Griffin for the tail end of this. He didn't look like that, Jim Rome. Okay, I don't know what he did, what hypergenic machine he jumped in where that rejuvenated his legs, but he looks like a new player. He looks like a fresher player. The problem is, can you depend on him to be your third best player? I think KD and Kyrie are going to specialize at getting their shots, but the one thing that James Harden did, James Harden was a certain glue that got. Oh, I hate to say the others. I hate whoever came up with that. Curse the day that they said it, Jim Rome. But the supporting players, the role players, the Joe Harrises of the world, the Jeff Greens of the world, even though Jeff Green didn't play, those are the guys that were eating off of James Harden. KD and Kyrie aren't as wont to set those guys up. And if you're Milwaukee, you're not going to miss all of those open shots all the time. I think Mike Budenholzer had better jump into that adjustment, into those adjustments, and realize he's not playing the Boston Celtics. If he does not, this will be an easy series for the Brooklyn Nets. But I picked the Milwaukee Bucks to actually win this series before this series started.
To your point about Blake Griffin, I have no idea how the hell he did what he did. I mean, he goes 18-14. That is not the guy that I saw in Detroit. But somehow, some way, he was able to turn that clock back at least for one day. What about that point you just made about the Bucks and the adjustments? What kind of adjustments do they need to make for game two and going forward?
How about make one adjustment, Jim? Because they look like that they walked in with a very rigid game plan. They look like they walked in more shook that James Harden got hurt than the team that actually lost James Harden. And the thing is, with Mike Budenholzer and these Milwaukee Bucks, we're expecting them to win. Like, this is the team that has gone through plenty of heartbreak. And when you come out and you say, okay, Blake Griffin, we're going to beat you in the only way that you can beat us, and he can do that, and then he's diving on the floor, beating Bobby Portis, beating P.J. Tucker. Wait, Jim, I thought the Milwaukee Bucks were supposed to be the toughened team. I thought they were supposed to be the hardened team. Because here's the thing. If you can't beat these Brooklyn Nets this year, you will never beat the Brooklyn Nets as long as those guys are over there.
We are talking to Vincent Goodwill. Right. It's an opportunity for them right now. Now, when you look around and you see all the injuries this season and in the postseason, how much then, Vincent, are the playoffs just about surviving and staying as healthy as you possibly can?
It's that way every year, Joe. I just think we pay more attention to it because of COVID-19, because of the fact that it's early June and we're just starting the semifinals as opposed to it being early June and we're in the throes of the NBA Finals. I just think the calendar makes us realize that, oh my God, this is a game of attrition. Injuries are going to happen every year. As long as guys are still playing basketball for 12 months and not resting themselves, this is going to be an issue from now until the end of time. But you're right. If nothing else with Ty Lue, you can say this. The Clippers are the team for all the crap that we just gave them and that we will continue to give them until they achieve something. They're the healthiest team right now. They're the team that doesn't have a lot of nicks and bruises, while every other team that's remaining in the playoffs has something to deal with. A lot of times it's not the best team, but the fresher team that comes out of this.
Right. The Lakers did, and they're sitting at home right now, which brings me to something else. You and I have talked about Detroit in the past. When Anthony Davis tried to play through that injury in Game 6, Let me ask you this way. What do you think Grant Hill, for instance, was thinking as he watched that play out?
He was, you know, like Professor Xavier from the X-Men, where he could teleport his thoughts into your mind. I'm sure he was probably saying, young fella, please go sit down. Don't do this. This is not worth it. But when you have Charles Barkley saying what he, you know, saying what he said the night before, even I've said that Anthony Davis is like the game of Operation, the old board game where you touch something, it goes zzz, zzz. That's what Anthony Davis has felt like throughout his entire career. So we've all taken part in it, and he's heard it. But you have to be not only as smart to have the bigger picture, to be able to look at things from 30,000 feet, but you have to have the right people in your corner. My thing is, Jim Rome, what doctor, what quack decided that Anthony Davis was healthy enough to play that is a licensed medical professional that is employed by the Los Angeles Lakers? Those are the questions we should be asking more than anything else, because 30 seconds after that game started, it was obvious that he should not have been out there. And groin injuries, while they're not ankles, while they're not knees or anything else, that is nothing to play with, and that can have long-term devastating effects, especially for a guy who is in the prime of his career and has already had injury problems.
I mean, you're right. It was obvious that he was going to give them nothing whatsoever. It was obvious that he could not play through that. So what did put him out there? And I did mention Grant Hill. Like, was this about the fact that even back in the day, people were coming at Grant and calling him soft? Was AD out there? And I'm not saying he's not out there because he doesn't want to win. He does. And I'm not saying he's not out there because he doesn't want to be there for his teammates. He does. But how much of him was being out there was because of what he heard and read on social and everything else that went along with that narrative?
I think it was a combination of a couple of things. I think when you're playing in the game and you have adrenaline running through your system and everything else, you're feeling like maybe I can play through it or at least give us a little bit of a bump. But can you imagine coming off of how they got waxed in Game 5 in Phoenix? If Anthony Davis doesn't give it a go and they wind up getting waxed the way that they did, we would legitimately be asking questions about, and we'll say legitimately, the questions would be coming from us about Anthony Davis's heart. And you got to go out there for your teammates. You saw what they looked like without you in Game 5. You saw what they looked like without you in Game 6. Why didn't you at least try? I don't know, as an athlete, what I would have done in that situation. It's a slippery slope, and it's a lose-lose situation for him, because you know that the Laker franchise, whether it's Magic Johnson in his tweets or James Worthy on the Flagship Network, those guys are made men, and they would have been saying something about Anthony Davis's ticker, along with the national guys, along with every Tom, Dick, and Harry that has a Twitter account. Why didn't he go out there? He's not a true Laker and everything else. So I understand the risk that he was assessing and the pride that he was trying to take in it. Turns out it didn't matter anyway, Jim, but we also have to be fair in how we were going to assess things in hindsight, regardless of what happened.
So, Vincent, one last thought about Magic, who you mentioned. I'm curious, like, when Irv is on Twitter and he's just thumbing out these, like, incredibly innocuous tweets that mean nothing at all to anybody, I'm still wondering if, like, he's in on the joke and he's trolling all of us, or if he really is just that bad at Twitter. I haven't figured that out yet. However, he was pretty clear about saying Dennis Schroeder is not one of us. He's not a Laker. He's not a winner. You saw those comments. What was your reaction to it?
Ha ha, my man Jim Rome. How you doing? This is Magic right from the Twitter account. No, of course. Of course Magic knows what he's doing. Magic is not oblivious to this. I don't think that he necessarily sends out his own tweets. I think maybe like his nephew or something like that handles all that type of stuff. But Irv pays attention to his mentions. He's not, look, I don't care how rich you are. You know, and you pay attention to what people are saying. You may not care, but he knows. And he was clear about Dennis Schroeder. He's heard the same things that a lot of us have heard, that he has not been necessarily happy in L.A., happy with his role. He wants to go somewhere where he can have a bigger role, more say. It's not easy playing with LeBron James. It's not at all. And some people don't value winning above anything else. It's not a selfish thing. It's about, you know, how can I best, you know, fill my space in this NBA, you know, in this NBA ecosystem, and he doesn't feel like being a spot-up shooter in Los Angeles is the best use of his talents. Some people don't want to sign up to be standing in the corner waiting on a pass from LeBron. Some people want to be able to make their own mark, so you can't fault him for that, and he's not the first person to feel that way in LeBron's orbit. So
I won't be surprised if he goes off somewhere else. He turned down an extension during the season. I can see him coming all the way across the country to play for a team like the New York Knicks, making a boatload of money, living in New York City, and getting some numbers.
Well, he turned down an extension, all right, and it was a big, fat extension, too. He is a Yahoo senior writer. He previously covered the Bulls for NBC Sports Chicago. As I mentioned, the Pistons also for the Detroit News. He is the pride of the D. He is Vincent Goodwill. Good job, my man. Great to have you back, Vincent. Thanks so much.
Hey, appreciate it. Hey, did you like the Magic impression, Rome?
I liked that a lot, dude. Not as much as you did, but I liked it a lot. Just playing, yo.
Oh, he's doing something, man.
I did like that, man. Well done. Well played. I'll look forward to your next one. Be good, man. Talk soon.
I see you guys.
See you. Vincent Goodwill. He's getting better and better, man. Every time he shows up. I like that. All right. Your reaction to it. Now, the good news is, good job. Vincent, great to have you back. That's a great new addition to our Jungle family, bringing him in, having him break stuff down. And when we come back, now we're wide open. So, man, get up in here, take advantage of it, do something with it. We don't have another interview until the last segment of the program. We're in Smack-Off season. It is a short turnaround, Smack-Off season. So take advantage. Call now. Wall Street has been lying for years, saying 7% is a good return on our stocks, but it's not. They also want you to believe that trading is just so complex that you have to get yourself a financial advisor. Also not true, because real people are making real money. I'm talking 30, 50, even 100% a year on their money trading stocks, even when the market is rough. Carnivore Trading. These are my guys now. Carnivore. Carnivore Trading is an anonymous team of elite Wall Street strategists. They're legends among Wall Street heavy hitters. Now they've gone a bit rogue. They're allowing everyday folks like you, like me, to see and mirror their explosive trades. If it sounds too good to be true, understand this. Carnivore will let you see the trades they're making right now for free. Check it out. Experience it for free. Go to GetOurTrades.com. Use the promo code ROME. Get 2 weeks free. If you join, Carnivore guarantees you'll get five times your subscription fee or double your money back. Go to GetOurTrades.com, promo code ROME. GetOurTrades.com, promo code ROME. See website for guarantee terms and conditions. Past performance not a guarantee of future earnings.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Coming up in the final segment of the day, 11:40, legendary baseball coach Tim Corbin. Hey, Vandy, was watching another legendary baseball coach all weekend, Andrew Checkets. Gauchos lost a heartbreaker. Arizona got us twice. We got Oklahoma State twice, but Arizona got us twice. Man, had some opportunities last night. Just could not cash them in, but I'm proud of those fellas. All right, so another weekend in the rear view means that we are just that much closer to Smack-Off 27. That much closer to the main event. That much closer to June 25th. That much closer to crowning a champion. And dropping $5,000 on somebody. $5,000 in cold, hard cake. As of right now, we are just 18 days out. I've said this a million times. You have to make the distinction. 18 days does not mean 18 shows. 18 days means 14 shows. You cannot qualify if not during the show. You understand me? You can't hit me up on Twitter. You can't hit me up on Instagram. You can't hit me up when we're off the air and qualify. You can only qualify on air. So you're running out of time. If you need to rip a ticket or cement the one you already have, or you need to RSVP, you are running out of time. But you knew that. You already know that. In fairness, I spent the better part of last week calling you out and telling you, get on the phone, lob me a call. And for the most part, you did. In fact, I handed out back-to-back golden tickets on back-to-back days. One to a brand new caller called or named James in Portland. Well, weird James got his. And I gave one to a throwback, Tyler in Shredminton, a three-time Smack-Off participant. Now, as stoked as I am to be handing out those ducats, I'd be remiss if I did not mention that the golden ticket class of 2021 is now up to 7 people. All right, so what does that mean? It does not take an Alfredo expert to realize that 7 golden tickets does not mean that 7 of you who are holding on to those golden tickets are getting on the air on Friday, June 25th.
Okay, in fact, I've done the math on this never-ending pasta bowl. 42 different sauce and pasta combinations.
Oh, you do the math, I'm doing the Alfredo.
Anyway, I don't think we need to know anything about math or Alfredo to know that all 7 of you are not getting on. What it means is this. The smack off, in a way, has already started for the ticket holders. Do you see me working? All right. It's kind of like when you hear a team or an athlete say, before the end of the regular season, the playoffs have already started for us. Same thing with you golden ticket recipients. So, if my name is Chris in Southeastern Wisco, or Jeremy in Green Bay, or Tyler in Shredmonton, or CJ in the Bay, or James in Portland, or Paul's dog, I'm figuring out how to make it so Rome, me, has to take my call that day. I mean, there's playing your way into a golden ticket, but then there's playing your way onto the airwaves. These are two different things. So that means getting up in here in the days leading up to the day to build your case, right? To make it so I need to take your call that day. You feel me? Golden ticket class of 2021. You see me working? I hope so. Speaking of working, Mr. Alvin DeLauro has been hard at work engineering his annual Smack Off promo masterpiece. This is a piece of audio that I do look forward to every single year. As soon as we do get that date on the calendar for the Smack Off, I say to Alvin, Alvin, it's time to go. It's go time. Make that promo. And then I ask him and he says, dude, I got it. Here's the day that you're going to get it. And then he never hits it on that day. Ever. It always gets pushed back a day or two, but better late than never because he always nails it. Well, today is the day. Actually, today is not the day. He told me the day was last week. Sorry, dude.
Dude, no.
I know, dude. Anyway, today is the day. He's done it. Now, let me say this. I'm only messing with Alvin because this thing is a lot of work. It's masterfully done every single year. He makes it look very, very, very easy, and it never is. It's worth the wait. Rather than get into it and break it down, I think I'm going to let the genius get right to the magic itself because the magic will speak on its own. It will stand on its own merits. So, Alvy, this is one of your biggest and most important contributions every single year. You're about to get the jungle hyped on the 27th year of the Smack Off. This is like the trailer of the movie, the hype track for the cleanup hitter, the weigh-in for the headlining championship fight. This is your promo for Smack Off number 27. 27. Where were you in 1995? JT the Brick ripped the initial crown.
The greatest city, the deepest tradition, and the best smack comes from New York and the Brick.
Where were you in the year 2000 when Doc Mike became the first ever two-time champ?
Other children. Dude, Eight is Enough was only a TV show. And put your back where it belongs and mix in a contraceptive.
Where were you in 2010 when Vic and NoCal officially became Broadway?
I'm the single most influential force in the jungle in the past 20 years. Everywhere you look in the jungle, you see my influence.
Where were you in 2014 when Mike and Indy and Chael Sonnen split the title?
If I tell you the moon is made of cheese, you can get you some crackers.
What if I tell you two of America's most wanted are in the same mother place at the same mother time?
In 2015, where were you when Leff and Laguna went household buzzing my tower?
Jim, that blue chopper right outside the window, that's me. Riding shotguns, Randall, he washed your windows 4 weeks ago.
Where were you in 2016 when Brad in Corona committed jungle suicide?
Okay, so Najee Davenport, Peppermint Patty, and an uncircumcised Euro walk into a laundromat.
Smack Off 27, Friday, June 25th, 2021. If you win it, you get $5,000 and you're a legend. It's go time. It is now officially Smack Off season.
I created Smack Off season.
Cal in Vegas.
I have to go. I got an elevator full of women coming up here to see me. The Smack Off on the 3 minute man, put in the bedroom. I'm all night.
Benny in Wisco.
Does Jeff in Southfield just look around his apartment and write a script based on what he sees?
Softball. Bacon bitch. Medium-sized cat turd.
Pack a snorkel.
He is Jeff in Southfield.
Hey, Trapper, rest in peace. And what I mean by that is stay in your coffin and shut up.
I Afraidy.
So time to take all those scripts to the shredder, clonies. Hop on the moral bulldozer or get bulldozed.
From Richmond, Jeff.
The only legitimate sports radio. God, King Kong ain't got nothing on me.
Caleb.
Caleb versus everybody. I don't want sympathy. I don't want a pity party. Take your best shot, tough guys. I'll see you in my driveway.
It's a walrus game.
And nice work, Caleb. That gimmick was almost as bad as your diet.
Mark in Boston.
Caleb always loves his tube sock.
Mike in Indy.
Then the Stucknut Smack-Off odds come out, and Mark in Boston is ahead of me, and I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. So Stucknut is cut off. And Mark, I know you didn't create the Stucknut odds, but you're cut off too, bitch. Bye-bye.
Rick in Buffalo.
Unwork grown men who say their fathers are their best friends. Get some real friends, you friggin' losers.
He is Mark in Hollywood.
Little bitch, left is gone. He's on that dirty mattress and he'll be there all night long.
Mark, if you read your Hollywood scripts half that well, you might be able to land a gig better than dressing up like the Statue of Liberty during tax season.
Sean, the Cablin Asian.
Left in Laguna, quote, the week or two before the smack-off, I go
Dude,
through all my notes.
This isn't your radio show. Rome has sponsors. Come on, man. We can't just spend all the time we want reading articles because we got no commercial breaks.
I was winning the smack-off back when the show was 4 hours long and Jim in Fall River had livestock giving birth in the background of his call.
The B.I.C.
Guys, let me explain something to you. It is impossible for me not to punch down. When you're me, everyone is down, okay? I just punch.
He's a three-time champ. Left.
I hate Brad and Corona so much, I hope he has a heart attack next time he plays charades.
I'm all ears.
Johnny, my biggest concern, whoever was staying in that hotel room below yours, wondering if the bed Big Sean is making love on is going to come crashing through the ceiling like you're the Kool-Aid guy.
Oh, yeah. Get up in here, rip your golden ticket.
In a custom fit 4XL Tommy Bahama.
Clean my toilet, son.
I got to get down to 440 or they're going to turn me away.
Albie, you impregnated a sock to the point where it got up, looked at you, said thank you for my life.
I'd like to really, my dog's barking.
Hey, Paul Shaw, you need to grow a pair.
I gave you a date.
Clean it up, Jeremy.
Whoopee.
You need to reinvent yourself as a decent caller.
Come on.
The Smack Off 27.
Put more effort in, loser.
The tradition continues.
Yeah. Dude, that guy gets more ass than Kelly Clarkson's Lazy Boy.
Friday, June 25th.
Time to die.
Come get some, you bitches.
Go time. Get at it. Can't wait. Come.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger is offering supplies and solutions for every industry, backed by 24/7 support, free access to product specialists, and an experienced staff at over 250 local branches. So you want to call or click Grainger.com or just stop on by. Alvy getting a lot of love for his promo. Bill Ratka, quote, I always look forward to Alvin DeLauro's Smack Off promo. Epic as always. It's his one shining moment. I'm going to argue that's exactly what that is, but frankly, better. Because it's better than everything. Wells. Man, Wells just can't stop. He's calling, he's tweeting, he's everywhere. Such an awesome promo. It was so good, I had to take my shirt off because that one got me hyped. Hey, Wells. Dude, you're not taking your shirt off. You know that. Not in the pool, not in public, not in private, not ever. At least I wouldn't if I were you. D-Rod in the 925. We all know Alvy can't miss. Sincerely, all 25 of his kids. Bella B tweets, wow. Alvin DeLauro with the Smackoff promo.
War Lady Clone.
Bittersweet Marie tweets, Alvin DeLauro with two fire emojis. That was fire. 1-800-636-8686. I mentioned that there was an RSVP on hold. I need to see more of these. However, I'll take this one. He's already in the field. He's calling to say that he will be there that day. He is Chris in southeastern Wisco. Chris, how are you?
I'm good, Jim. How about yourself?
Great, dude.
Hey, listen, man, real quick. I know that I always sound extremely professional and polite when calling into the show, but today I got to be honest, man. I lost my cool. What started as a cordial conversation ended in an F-bomb-laced tirade I had with your EP. To my utter shock and total disgust, Hawk informed me there were no plans to profile my greatness pre-Smackoff 27. Hey, listen, man, I just turned down a lucrative four-part docuseries offer from Netflix. They wanted to chronicle my epic rise in becoming the most feared and respected clone in the jungle. However, my loyalty will always be to the show. F the money they offered me. I don't need it. I'm going to be entering the jungle on a big day in a bad mood, clones. And now the Smackoff roster is going to pay for this disrespect. I fear no one. Consider this my official RSVP. Stamp it on Flight Deck's launch pad for your viewing pleasure. See you on the 25th, Jim. It's a dynasty, clones!
All right, there's the RSVP. He's in a bad way. He said to Adam Hawk, yo, man, what about me? When is my profile piece? And Hawk said, never. Or at least not this year. He didn't take that well, did he? Good. Good, dude. Then you're running on a different sort of fuel going into that day. You know what that's like? That's like sitting in the green room on draft day in the NFL and watching all these guys taken before you, and the camera keeps going back to you, and you're embarrassed and you're disappointed and your family's freaking out, and you never do actually hear your name called. And then you walk out of there, and it's the biggest disappointment of your life. However, you're running on a different sort of fuel. Then you're running on rocket fuel because of the disrespect. And it doesn't last for your first camp or your first year. It lasts your entire career, your entire life. You don't believe me? Ask that nerd Tom Brady. Ask Aaron Rodgers. Those guys never forgot what happened. They're running on that fuel. That's you, Chris. It's going to be the best thing that ever happened to you. That disrespect. It's going to be a good thing. You watch. You watch. Do you think that's a guy who can win? Do you think that's a guy who could hit the board and be a top tenner? Do you think that guy's top five? Is there any way he's in the top three? I don't know. I have no idea how somebody like that's going to show up the day of. Curious what you clones think. I'm the last kind of poll guy there is, but I will ask you, who you got? Who you got? Something else that's kind of significant today. And if there is a significant day in the jungle, then none other than Stucknut. Stephen H-Town will know exactly what that day is. So I want to thank him for pointing this out. I did not know this. In fact, I don't know most things about the program until the nut points it out. But 3 years ago today, I received an email from Eric in Orlando that forever changed at least a small course of the history of this show. You probably know where I'm going with this. Have you ever wondered where James Kelly got the gloss Flight Deck? Let's go back 3 years to that day and find out. Let's throw it back. Let's flashback. Here is an email from Eric in Orlando that wrecked me live on the air. Also, who is that dude next to Hawk? Peyton Manning? An F-14 Tomcat could easily land on that flight deck he calls a forehead. Your buddy, Eric in Orlando. Craziest thing is that it was such a legendary moment. It was so amazing. But the craziest thing is that it came from that guy. Like, that was Eric's best effort by 10,000 miles. He's been chasing hard ever since. Like, Eric, I do not need to hear about strippers on your buddy's boat. Oops, my bad. Sorry, I know. You don't fish off boats.
I don't fish on boats, okay, Matt? I fish on a boat.
Anyway, E, what you contributed 3 years ago to the jungle is good enough for the rest of the time in the jungle. It was an incredible email. Since that day, 3 years ago, 3 years ago to this day, James Kelly has almost exclusively been referred to as the flight deck, big head, deck, or just the head. All because of Eric. Like, of all the unlikely people to make jungle history, Eric. I mean, you want to talk about a one-hit wonder. He's never come close to that ever again, and frankly, never will. That's why you always hear Top Gun music and Top Gun drops when the head is on the air. It's why you always hear Peyton Manning sound bites when you hear the head.
Here we are. I'm out of my third Pro Bowl.
Remember,
that me.
We also had James Kelly jump on the air and read tweets and take calls about his enormous forehead. Here's a small sample of how that went.
When JK is a passenger in a car, the driver has to ask him, "We good?" right before driving under an overpass. Jake in Buffalo tweets, "The theme song for James Kelly's face is Landslide." Gar in the 608 tweets, "People said I had a big forehead. Then I saw James Kelly. Wow." Signed, Rocky Dennis.
When did the hipster Frankenstein become a part of the XR4TI crew? Good, James Kelly has a full slab roll of bologna deli meat between his eyebrows and hairline.
God, I wish there was more of that. It's a great job, though, by Eric in Orlando for the world-class gloss and all the content that we get from it. Even still today, no, Eric, you are not due royalties.
You can be my wingman.
You're just getting props. Great job, Nut, for resetting it. Great job to the head for rolling with it. Not like he had any choice, but way to roll with that.
The plaque for the alternates is down in the ladies' room.
And way to have a head big enough for a Black Hawk helicopter to land on. Happy anniversary, head. Or happy birthday, head. Or happy 3 years since you became the head.
The way it flies, ice cold, no mistakes.
3 years ago today, the head also wants me to remind everybody that he was the squatter before then because he showed up once a week. Now he never shows up. But he's got a big head. And he's getting you paid on big head bets. St. Louis Battlehawks. You make any money this year on the St. Louis Blues? Battlehawks. You know what one of my favorite towns is? I think I might have even been there the day that Cher Belief ran California Chrome into the ground. I think I was actually in St. Louis. Carl and Prescott tweets, great promo. Alvin DeLauro, when will there be a hack-off promo? I can answer that, Carl. Whenever there's a hack-off, which will be never. Squirrel 2, Chris in Southeast Wisco's player profile would be easy for Alvy to make. Just air the sound of paint drying. 12 Wood. Exactly how does that sound? 12 Wood, quote, Chris in Illinois is relevant? Is Cal tall? Is Caleb the sexiest man alive? Is Wells skinny? You're talking about Chris in Southeast Wisco? That Chris? Wood, I don't want to be this guy, Wood. Are you asking if other people are relevant? Where you been, Wood? Did you run out of family members and friends of mine to interview? Where you been, yo? Did my son block you? No, you wouldn't do that. And one more from at 143C1. I like when James Kelly references my Zoom calls. Signed, Jeffrey Toobin. He has done that. Sometimes the head thinks that it's not about his bets and advice, but rather him. And then he'll go with something like that. All right, bringing it back. Hour number three, straight ahead, Tim Corbin. Next hour, more open phones. And I've got thoughts on the NBA playoffs. All that still ahead.